Hello, I'm Dr. Susie Godson. I'm a research psychologist and the co-founder of Tell Me, a mental health support community for young people. The Tell Me About It podcast gives young people a voice. In each episode, I talk to a young person about specific challenges that they have experienced. And today, I'm talking to Kyle about teenage anorexia. Hey, Kyle.
Thanks, Susie. It's a pleasure to be here.
So normally in this podcast, what we do is we just start at the beginning and we go back to childhood and work out when things started to become difficult and if you know why, maybe talk a little bit about that. So when do you think you first began to struggle with eating?
I would say around the age of 13. Growing up, sort of pre-teenage years, I had a really good sort of family life. Small family, me, my mum and my dad, but really good positive relationships that sort of meant anything else that went on outside of that didn't really matter because there was always that really positive home to go back to. And then around the age of 12, my parents had quite a messy divorce, didn't really know where I stood, lost trust in them a bit, and meant that the things that were going on outside of the home kind of carried on back into my home life, really. One of the things I did to sort of distract myself or almost I'll feel better at least, was comfy a little bit. And I put on a little bit of weight. At the same time, I was, as I sort of had done throughout the entirety of my school life, I was getting bullied. I went to a school where academic achievement among pupils wasn't necessarily celebrated. And that frustrated me. And I wanted to be the best that I could academically. And I felt like on occasions pupils were holding me back, and I might have visibly and verbally said that to people, which didn't go down particularly well. There was always sort of people were looking for reasons to bully me. And then as I put on a little bit of weight, that became like the new thing, we'll bully him for being a little bit chubby. And then sort of summer in between two school years, it was like, right, I'm going to lose a little bit of weight. And I went back and the bullies then gave me praise. It's like, oh, well done. You look amazing. Well done. No, that was the first time people have said positive things to me in ages.
How did you go about losing the weight? And what age were you at this point?
So this was between the age of 13 and 14, what would be the holiday between year 9 and year 10. So I had lost the weight through a combination of significantly under-eating and over-exercising.
And did you, at the time, feel that what you were doing was in any way unhealthy?
No, I felt it was very healthy. I felt proud of myself for doing it. And then that was only sort of reaffirmed when I went back to school after the summer and people were saying nice things about it.
And what about your parents at this point?
I think because of what was going on, not that I was forgotten about, it was just it wasn't clocked, I don't think, that anything unhealthy was going on. There's no blame attached to them at all, but I just don't think at that point, because the change in my appearance wasn't dramatically visible. Obviously when I'm back to school it was a difference than people, you know, commented on that, but I don't think that it was dramatically different to the point where there was any degree of concern.
When you look back, can you see that what you were doing to your body was a way of controlling everything in your life?
100%. It was, you know, the only thing that I had control over. I was very regimented in what I ate and was very regimented in the exercise I did, and had this idea in my head that the more I lose, the more praise I'll get, the less bullying that will happen. And it will be my, you know, the positive thing in my life, that with all the negativity and the struggles that are going on alongside it, it's the one thing that will give me some little bit of control, as you put it. Yeah.
And at what point did it start to become problematic?
So I really sort of quite vividly remember my dad taking me to the GP after we'd had some conversations. He'd started to notice that quite visibly I was unwell, I was underweight, and he was concerned by how little I was eating and the amount of exercise I was doing. One continued to decrease and the other one continued to increase. And I really, like I said, sort of visibly remember sitting in a GP room with a doctor and my dad sort of being very affirmative, saying that there's an issue here. and me saying, no, there's not, it's fine. And I was weighed and it was, oh, you're very underweight, there is an issue here. But I turned it away, turned it all down, like, no, it's just, there's no issue here, it's fine.
And so the GP, what did they do?
I don't actually remember. I know that I put up a bit of a fight with what the GP said as well. And I know that when I came away, my dad was very unhappy.
Right.
And I was very unhappy with both him and the GP for questioning what I was doing. And, you know, this is healthy. What I'm doing is healthy. You're wrong. I'm right.
And did you really believe it was? Or?
Yeah. 100%. I didn't think there was an issue at all.
And how significantly underweight were you? Because that does determine what happens in a way.
So at that point, I can't remember exactly because it got a significantly lot worse.
Right.
But I was going off BMI. It was 17 or something like that.
Wow. Okay. So.
But it got a lot worse.
Right.
And at that point, there was definitely body dysmorphia as well. I was still looking at myself in the mirror and seeing, oh, I can grab a bit of skin there. I'm still fat. And I had constant ways of like judging my appearance and judging my weight and how skinny I was. And if I ate something and it made me slightly bloated, as you know, when you're that far underweight, you know, it does do that. And it made me regret eating, or, you know, I felt the need to do, right, I need to do a lot of exercise. So yeah, it just didn't feel like a problem, and it didn't feel like something I noticed, because I was still just in this idea of, one, I need to lose weight to keep, you know, people say nice things, and two, I'm not skinny.
Were people continuing to say nice things?
No, it was an initial burst.
Yeah.
And then at that time, it wasn't diagnosed, but looking back, I know what it was. Depression and anxiety to quite a heavy extent, and very much became isolated. So, you know, I wasn't talking to anyone anyway. I was avoiding people, sitting on my own and as much as possible in the back of the classroom, and not being around other people at lunchtimes and stuff, and doing hobbies and things a lot less, just being on my own as much as I possibly could, really.
And had your teachers noticed?
It turned out that they had done, but they didn't say anything.
To anyone?
So I'm sure we'll get on to the time when I reached crisis point, but it was only after that point where I approached them to explain, right, I have this issue, that they go, oh yeah, we knew.
What do you think about that now?
That I feel indifferent, because I know that if they had said anything, I would have had the same attitudes I had to my dad and the GP, of which, oh no, you're wrong, I'm right. When I did explain to them what my issue was, it was quite a sheepish sort of like embarrassed response, like, we knew. Like, there was no effort made to say anything. I don't know, you know, is that a teacher's role to do that? Probably, but did they feel very uncomfortable doing that? Yes, maybe they weren't aware of how best to get that point across and say, oh, you know, we've spotted this, we think you should do this. I sought help for my mood, for depression and anxiety, but didn't seek help for that at all.
So you carried on not eating. Was it purely anorexia?
Anorexia, yeah.
And did you know anything about eating disorders? 14-year-old boys don't tend to be very well educated on eating disorders.
Nothing at all.
So did you really realise what was happening to you?
No.
And then when did the mood changes begin?
February of that year 10 year, still 14 at the time. I remember went on work experience, and during the lunch breaks, I took with me a small box of plain cereal to eat, and that was it. And there was some quite sort of quizzical and patronising looks. And then as the 2 weeks went on, one, I became very, very tired and very, very weak from... I was on my feet all day. It was a supermarket.
Right.
And felt a sense of tiredness and ache that I'd not felt before, which, looking back, that was muscle wasting. And the food consumption thing became sort of... It was more obvious. There were people looking... Nothing was said, but they were looking at me in an odd way. Also, doing work experience meant I was spending more time having a full day. I was less time at home, less time to exercise. And that made me upset and frustrated, it slowly started to make me think, something's not quite right about this. I'm, you know, putting too much of my, for want of a better way of putting it, too much of my energy into this, too much of my energy into the exercising, too much of the energy into being restrictive over what I'm eating. There's something not quite right here. I don't really know what that is, but it's because it still feels right what I'm doing. It still feels healthy. It still feels what I should be doing. It still feels the thing that I have control over. So I don't really know what's going on, but I think over the next month or so, I mulled over in my head about whether I should say anything, whether I should ask for help, whether I should do anything. And each time I sort of got towards saying something, I took 10 steps back. No.
And who were you thinking about talking to?
It would have been my dad.
Right.
My dad had tried to talk to me, but I turned him away so many times and there was things going on for him as well. It just got to a point where there was a breakdown in that relationship as well.
He must have been terrified.
Yeah, he's my best friend, basically. I've had mental health issues for the vast majority of my life, and he's gone out of his way consistently to help me as much as he possibly can do. At the time, it wasn't something I realised he was doing, but you know, looking back, I can see how scared he was and how scared I made him. And, you know, it shouldn't be, but naturally it's a source of guilt that, you know, I made my best friend scared.
Yeah, but you did get help eventually.
So the story there is that it was around the end of February of that year 10 year.
Yeah.
And my two passions were football and cricket. I'd continued to play football as my weight decreased and I became sort of visibly ill and I had those muscle wasting feelings, I guess. And I was awful. When you're in that state, you're not going to be able to play particularly well. And I stopped playing, but I put that down to the depression, basically. That I didn't want to be around people. And yeah, so I stepped away and then started the sort of winter indoor cricket training. And I was a bowler. And in the summer beforehand, I'd put in a lot of time to get better and done really well. And I remember I'd played a bit the early start of the summer and then played for the school team. And like the PE teacher was like, wow, what's going on here? You've improved so much. So I was really looking forward to going back and starting the winter training and trying to get better. I just remember the first ball that I went to bowl, like I couldn't physically get it from my basic out of my hand. I couldn't get my arm over and get it down to the other end of the wicket. And
because you were so weak.
Because I was so weak. And that was the first time where I went, what I'm doing isn't healthy.
Mm.
And then a couple of days later, I had a PE lesson at school. It rained and it was indoors and we played dodgeball. And these were soft, squidgy balls. Same thing, I couldn't throw it. And I just had a breakdown, just sat down and started crying. And sort of traditional, super masculine that everyone's scared of PE teacher came and put his arm around me and took me outside. And my mum was an assistant teacher. I went to the school I went to was huge.
Yeah.
At one point, it was like the biggest school in terms of pupil size in Europe or something stupid like that. So she was at like the opposite end of the school, got taken there. And it was kind of like, yeah, we know there's an issue here. And she was crying. And I can't really remember the process that followed. But the next thing I remember is being in what felt like a child's room in a hospital, being sat down and being told that here's all the things that are physically wrong with you. You have anorexia. It's amazing that you're still alive almost. It's amazing your heart's not stopped. You're so far underweight. I think I was like 5.5 stone or something along those lines. There was significant muscle wasting. And obviously, sort of, as you can imagine, the recommendation was I need to be an inpatient. But when that was mentioned, I had a panic attack. And it was sort of like, okay, maybe that's not the best thing for you. It was just, it didn't really feel real.
Mm.
And there was still that sort of nagging thing in the back of my head of, because obviously in that initial conversation, it's one of the things we need to do is, you know, obviously we've got to address the mental aspect here, but we need to, I think I got seen on the same day as well by a dietitian that you need to be slowly putting on weight, and that terrified me.
I've spoken to several people who've had eating disorders, and one of the things that they found the most difficult was obviously they needed to put on weight, but they were immediately put on 3,500 calories a day, which, having been existing off a few hundred calories a day, was just impossible for them to even contemplate. Did you have a similar situation?
It went up incrementally.
Right.
I was given, I do remember being given like a lot of supplements and vitamins, and I can't remember exactly the sort of the process, but I know it was done in a slow way. I think there was it was identified that if it was
too quickly,
I would both mentally and physically, I wouldn't react well to it. I think that side of it was managed quite well. I know that I didn't have a good relationship with a dietitian. I know I said some things maybe I shouldn't have done to her because I didn't like the idea that she was trying to make me put on weight. But I think that process, the sort of feeding process, was okay in the sense that I now had an understanding purely on the basis of that incident that happened when I tried to bowl a cricket. I had an understanding that I needed to put on weight or I wouldn't be able to play cricket, and
right.
I needed to play cricket. That's what made me happy, and you know, that was a constant motivator to address the issues. Lots of tears, lots of, to be honest with you, suicidal thoughts, and you know, lots of times where it was, I don't want to be doing this, I don't want to be putting on weight, I want to go back to losing it.
And could you rationalize those thoughts to yourself when you knew that you were essentially on a course to dying if you carried on?
No, I don't think so. I think it took a little while, maybe a month or two, to fully understand just how ill I was.
Mm.
I remember that I carried on with school for at least a month and a half.
Even when you had
been
that sick?
And then eventually, I think probably it took around a month and a half for me to really realise that you've basically escaped death here. There was genuine surprise that I was in a very bad physical state, but not in a state where I needed to be hospitalised. I should have been, but like, there should have been threat to life, and there ultimately there wasn't. And it took me probably a month and a half to sort of come to terms with that. And I do remember it sort of over the course of a week where I slowly came to terms with that, and just a very, very emotional time. And it was right, okay, I need to focus on getting better now. And that was the point where I opened up to teachers and said, look, it was kind of around the time of year 10 coursework. And I was like, can I take everything home? Can I study from home? There was some like, no. And there were some that were more supportive of it. And eventually it was, go take everything home, take a few weeks, whatever you need off, and then come back.
Do you think if you had had access to an anonymous peer support app like Tell Me at the time, that it would have made it easier for you to begin to talk about it?
It certainly would have made it easier for me to understand what was going on.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea. I mean, I sort of very loosely I knew what an eating disorder was and very loosely I knew what anorexia was, but I exclusively assigned it to females. I couldn't really identify it beyond it being a name. So, you know, in those moments where it started to feel like something was wrong, being able to explain that in an environment in a way where I felt confident enough to do it certainly would have at least increased my understanding. Whether I would have acted on that, just knowing how sort of strongly I felt that I was doing the right thing, is another matter. But it certainly would have increased my understanding, getting, you know, the opportunity to say, look, this is going on. Sometimes it feels like it's the wrong thing to do. What do you think? And someone offering that, you know, explaining to me what an eating disorder is and explaining to me that possibly you might have this.
And so when did things start to become better? When did you start playing cricket again? And
eventually I put on some weight. I was still underweight quite significantly, but to the point where I could walk and live without being in constant pain. One of the first questions I was asked when I went to, actually you can cut this out because it's embarrassing, but I just want to tell it anyway. One of the first questions I was asked, sort of 14 going on 15 me, was when I saw the eating disorder specialist for the first time, was do you have erections? And like that hadn't clocked. It's like, yeah, no, I don't. And like I had one for the first time at some point, and it was like, oh, okay, this is a good sign.
My God, that's amazing, because with girls their periods stop. That's amazing. I never realized that.
Yeah. A relatively small thing.
Yeah.
No pun intended. this was, you know, quite a big sign of this was something I was told that was wrong with me.
Yeah.
Now it's right. There was no kind of like big landmark where it all got better.
Yeah.
It was just a very slow, difficult process where simultaneously weight was put on and my ability to cope with the situation that I was in, with the thoughts directly linked to the anorexia, I was able to control them better. They were still there for a long time. I think up until probably the age of 17, so about 2 or 3 years later, they were still there to the same sort of degree. But, you know, day by day, month by month, I had them under better control. So I think around the point of the next school year, so year 11, someone else at the school who I didn't know, I don't know how they found out, but they also had an eating disorder.
Right.
And they reached out to me on Facebook and explained who they were, explained what hall they were in the school, and sort of said, you know, you can come and join us, like her friendship group. And that massively changed things. And it was quite a, you know, diverse group of characters, and I got on well with them all. And I don't know if it was intentional or not, but they helped me eat.
Yeah.
Not her. We sort of struggled together, but other people within the group were understanding and supportive. And it wasn't like I was just in the group because I was sort of an eating disorder. I was in the group because I was their friend.
Were you able to help that girl?
Yeah, we helped each other. That was quite a, you know, powerful thing.
Yeah.
And I remember actually we lost touch for a little while. She moved away and I had some additional issues sort of from the age of 18 till mid-20s with high epilepsy. And the depression, the anxiety worsened. The anorexia was under control, but I now had these issues. And again, I isolated myself. And I just remember, I think this might have been 2019. Mm. Age, so I would have been 24. I just remember she reached out to me and she'd said that, you know, she had a child and it just crossed her mind that she wanted to thank me for my help in supporting her. And it was kind of okay, that's quite wow, that's you know, that's quite a powerful thing.
When you look back now from you're healthy now and you're, you know, successful and doing all sorts of amazing things, what do you think about younger you? I mean, when you see what you put yourself through,
I think something like this, something like the anorexia, to the extent that I had it, would have happened. The breakup of my parents was horrible. There's elements of it that I don't feel comfortable going into, but sure. It was just horrific. The bullying that I felt at school, the isolation, the depression, the anxiety, all those various different things were, and then my dad being unemployed as well, and worries there, and something would have happened.
Yeah.
You know, the anorexia was, I guess, the manifestation of that. I don't look back and feel guilt, really, because I think I was in a position that I couldn't control, that something would have happened. The other thing might have been something that I've had experience of, unfortunately, since, which is suicidal ideation and suicide attempts. That might have been what would have happened at that time. So I certainly don't look back and go, I was a terrible person for doing that. Were there times where it could have been stopped? Maybe when I was in that GP room, you know? Maybe if a teacher had reached out to me in some way, I'm still not sure I would have taken it on board. It's really difficult to say, you know, what would you have told your younger self to stop this?
Yeah.
Because I can't see a point where I would have listened to myself or...
It takes huge determination to starve yourself. And anybody who's got that level of determination is not going to have their mind changed particularly easily.
100%. Because it felt the right thing to do. And I was doing the right thing so successfully. And it was making me feel good. Mm. And when I didn't do it, it was absolutely terrifying. If I missed a day of exercise or it was... Christmas and I was forced to eat, it was horrific.
Do you think there needs to be a lot more education about eating disorders in boys?
Yeah, 100%. And especially it's not just anorexia, it's not just, you know, bulimia, it's the over exercising, the steroid stuff, the putting on, trying to have the ideal masculine body. I don't think that I had an ideal body in mind. I just needed to keep losing weight. You know, I was getting down to that point of, you know, 5.5 stone or whatever I was. I still didn't feel totally attuned to the idea that I was skinny. You know, if I could get to that point and still not feel, you know, there's an issue. And it's certainly when I was at a more reasonable underweight, I did still feel there was a significant issue with my appearance. You know, there certainly needs to be more education around the behaviours that lead up to that, the behaviours that follow that, and, you know, the body image. And the 13, 14, 15-year-old me didn't know what eating disorders were. So, yeah, 100% needs to be more education around it.
So it sounds like finding somebody else who had the same problem, having some peer support and connecting to other people, that was the thing that you think, and also having a goal, wanting to get back to cricket. So those were the things that motivated you to get better.
I needed that base of the treatment. I needed guidance on how to put on weight. But in terms of living comfortably again, it was having people to speak to, building up relationships again, and being able to get back to doing the things that made me happy.
And how do you feel now?
No, I think that once you've had an eating disorder, I think it's that mentality doesn't necessarily ever go away. Even just this week, I was lucky enough to have quite a big and quite a posh meal, and there was a lot of it, and I had as much as I possibly could. And, like, I think more, like, quite naturally, I felt a little bit guilty about that. And I went and did quite long runs twice in 2 days, and I am feeling the effects of that now. And I done that because I felt guilty. So I don't think that you entirely lose that, you know, that mentality. But it's not something that, you know, I think about day to day. It's not something that impedes my life. The exercise that I do now is I do it because I enjoy it. Normally, maybe that was just an instance where I've stepped away from that, but everything of that regard is under control. There's some attitudes and some feelings there that maybe haven't completely passed and maybe never will.
Thank you, Kyle. That was so great. It's such a difficult subject, and it is amazing to hear firsthand from somebody how they went through it and thankfully came out the other end. And we really appreciate you sharing your story. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to the Tell Me About It podcast. If anything in today's episode has resonated with you, then we'd love you to join the Tell Me community. Just download the Tell Me app from the App or Play Store, or by going to tellme.app. See you next time.